0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a huge weekend across Scottish football. I say that every Monday, I mean it more than usual this week. Rangers beat Hearts to go 2 points behind in the title race. Celtic are one further back but with a game in hand after another late show, this time at Kilmarnock, and Motherwell simply will not go away either. A 2-0 win for them against Aberdeen at Fir Park. Big results up and down the league, up and down the country, and all will be covered in the next 2 hours by Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Gordon, I feel we should start with an apology to yourself, to our listeners and to our viewers. You bring us on to this show to provide a level of insight, analysis and expert opinion. And between the hours of 2 and 3 on Saturday, I feel we let you down. David Friel started it by saying Simon Murray's not scoring the goals to keep Dundee up. By 3:05, he'd scored twice. You asked me who I thought would be sucked into 11th place in the league. I said Dundee United. They went and won 3-2 at Falkirk. You asked Hugh Keevans' opinion what would happen at Rugby Park on Sunday. He said Kilmarnock would win. Celtic won. And Gordon Dahl announced he'd been at Fir Park in midweek and had watched Yusuf Chirmiti playing. He said he doesn't have the pace, the positional sense, all the finishing prowess to be a Rangers number 9, and he scores a hat-trick against the leaders yesterday. With forecasts like that, no wonder Andy Halliday's not going to get a league prediction out of me.
Exactly. You lot have not had a good week, but I'll tell you who's had a good week. Scottish football. What about a quick round of applause
I'm so happy you said that
over yesterday.
If I could have gave Scottish football a standing ovation at 8 p.m. last night, I would have. Because not just the games on Sunday, which were of course a fantastic advert for Scottish football, but the games on Saturday as well. We always knew it was going to be a big week in terms of ramifications for the title challenge, bottom place, second bottom place, European spots, and it did not disappoint. Loads of quality, loads of entertainment. Is there drama? Who knows? You never know on a Monday. I'm sure we'll find out.
01419511025. You simply must have something on your mind after the weekend. That's the way it has to work, because it was all set up yesterday. There was no outcome that wouldn't lead to a big reaction. That was the beauty of second welcoming first to Ibrox and the way the league table was poised. There was no outcome that was boring there. Something big had to come from it. It just so happened it went in Rangers' favour. Not only did they beat Hearts, the first time an Old Firm team has beaten the Jambos this season, that of course meant that they cut that gap to 2 points. Celtic, they've not played as many games and they're only 1 point further back, so a win for them in that game in hand in theory move them level at the top. It was a late show. It was Julian Araujo this time after some of his teammates have taken turns in recent weeks. There was quite a few angry scenes after the game, shall we say, as well. So if you want to get any of your analysis from Rugby Park, Ibrox, Fir Park, anywhere else, you know this is the place to do it on a Monday night. So let's hear from you. 01419511025. And these two will set the scene with your result of the weekend. Roger Hannah.
Result of the weekend, I feel as if I must eat humble pie. I'm going for Dundee United winning at Falkirk. Falkirk looks cemented in the top six. They're 11 points clear of Aberdeen and United. So for United to go there, even against 10 men, and get the victory, it buys them a little bit of space in that fight to avoid 11th.
One defeat in 17, 19 clean sheets in the last 17 games, only been behind in two of the games were at Rangers, and it was an unbelievable game of football at Fir Park. Motherwell and my result of the weekend. I mean you can't even say quietly going about your business anymore, because I think you've put the league on notice for such a long period of time, taking it a game by game. But it was another fantastic performance and a fantastic result of the weekend for Motherwell.
Goal of the weekend, some good choices for you out there.
Well, such are Celtic's powers of coming back from jaws of defeat. You just know that they need a momentum swing, and when they get that momentum swing, you know what can happen. We've seen it so much from Celtic over the last few weeks, and that momentum swing was the introduction of Sebastian Tanetki and his other two teammates at half time. And what a goal to start the comeback. You know, you just feel like he's the type of player that his level of productivity as soon as he cuts in on that right hand side compared to going down the line is another level. And as soon as he gets onto that right foot, he's only got one thing on his mind, to try and shape into that far corner. And what a finish it is.
We've had a lot of chat about him all season. We'll have more about him tonight. Yusuf Chirmiti, his third goal, the finish was composed, it was accurate, but so much of it was down to the work from Jiri Gassama. The run from his own half, taking out however many Hearts players, the pass to Chirmiti and the finish across Swallow, and it has burst open this title race.
Justice for just, if you ask me, but never mind, we'll get to that later on. Your howler of the weekend, come on, let's get controversial.
There were a few.
Go on, pick
on the
then.
Go.
What was the most howling of them all?
I know who Andy's going to go for. I am going to say Michael Steinwender. Came on early for Ocean McAtee and didn't finish the game. I know Hearts were pushing for it when he got hooked late on in the second half. Didn't have his greatest afternoon, and slicing the ball into the roof of his own net for Rangers' first equaliser.
We did have a few options, a few goalie ones as well, I might add in, to continue my vendetta, and I'm picking a goalie. I'm going to go for John McCracken. I feel as if his was probably the most glaring error of them all, given that, I mean, he has Robbie Muirhead in his vision. He sees him being pressed, but for some reason he felt as if he had a lot more time than he actually did. You know, he tries to take on his left foot and play a pass. By that time, Robbie Muirhead's nicked the ball off him. It rolls into Scott Pittman's path and he passes into an empty net. And what was 2-0 after 5 minutes very, very quickly remained 2-2.
I'll tell you something, in any other week, Scott Bain's got away with one, hasn't he?
Well, did neither of you pick Scott Bain there?
No.
Sorry, I was distracted.
No.
I think two of them were slightly worse.
Okay, no. Yeah, I'll give you it. I don't mind. Not bad selections. And your top man of the weekend, let's finish on a high.
It's a double award for Yusuf Chirmiti this Monday. He's found himself in the howler segment of the show plenty of times this season. And he showed great character, you know, given he had to bounce back from a disappointing performance himself on Wednesday at Firth Park, missed a huge chance, and he bounced back in great fashion. Great hat-trick, I thought, loads of work rate, loads of quality, but added the goals to it.
The posties pal, Simon Murray, all the gingers stick together. Two goals in the first 5 minutes, and the world's angriest goal celebration times two.
I'm really fascinated by the psychology of it, because I get up to a point, see when you score like a late winner, emotions are high. I don't know how he can channel that anger and celebrate like that when he scores in the first minute.
Yeah.
Usually when you see goals in like the first minute, there's a verging on apologetic type, you know, you just kind of you celebrate and you go, but my word, what energy.
Do you know what my favourite is? His sheer desire to fight off every single teammate that tries to celebrate with him.
Yeah.
Because it seems as if he has to cover at least 30 yards worth of celebration sprint distance before he can celebrate with anyone else. It's pretty impressive.
His GPS stance must go through the roof when he scores.
0141 951 1025. Come on down, let's try and sum it all up. How could you do that within 2 hours? We like a challenge. How big was yesterday, and in what way was it big? Who are the favourites for the title now? We can legitimately ask that every week because something changes or situations develop. But particularly yesterday, who are your favourites for the title now? Because Rangers are the ones that strike the blow against Hearts. They get points themselves, they take the points off Hearts, they move closer at the top of the table. Celtic might be in third place, but again, the arithmetic could be on their side if they go and win their game in hand, because of course they won yesterday and would go level on points with Hearts at the top. And Hearts have been there for over 20 weeks now, as you heard me talk about throughout the weekend. So who are your favourites now? How significant do you think yesterday was? And that's before we even get into the sort of minute detail and all the different elements of the games to analyse. So let's hear from you right now, please. And Matthew in the city centre will kick things off. Take it away, Matthew.
Evening panel, how are you doing?
Good, hi, thank Matthew. You, good.
Good, excellent. I guess my point is, so I'm a Celtic fan, watching the game yesterday. I don't know, it's my first time calling, so I don't know if my heart's beating faster right now or it was during the final 5 minutes.
Matthew, I love the fact that you've never called before, but yesterday's just the bit that's just tipped you over the edge. It's just got too much, there's too much at stake, and you finally decided to get in touch. Do not worry about your heart racing. Whatever point you make will be far more sensible than whatever Roger Hanna or Andy Halliday come back with. So take it away.
Right, you're speaking too early, but my point is, it was on yesterday, it's mainly on Neil McCann's comments about the added time. So he mentioned that he didn't know where they got the 7 minutes from. So the first point is Kamarnica and a bit of a relegation dogfighter, I guess, for that sort of second bottom position. So surely if you know, they had momentum in the game. Right enough, Celtic were the team that were more likely to score, but they had an opportunity to score in that time. And the second point is just when you add up the fact that there was two head knocks, there was multiple injury breaks, free kicks. There was an element of time wasting. I've seen worse, but there was time wasting, and there was two goals. It was at least 7 minutes. And the fact that he's come out and said that on like national media is kind of setting a narrative that we play until Celtic score, and it's going to be, from my opinion, it's going to be in the referees' minds going forward in other games. I don't know if anything will be done, but I just want to know what the panel's thoughts are on it.
One part of me despairs that we are now getting our stopwatches out and adding up time and arguing over it. The other part of me thinks it's Scottish football, it's mad, and let's embrace more madness. Which side of it do you fall into?
Well, you used a line earlier on of the show, and I saw somebody using the same line on Twitter earlier on. When you go into 7 minutes or 9 minutes or 11 minutes of added time, it's not just Celtic that are allowed to score. The other team is allowed to score as well. I've no problem. I watched the game yesterday, and actually Chris Sutton said with 2 or 3 minutes to go, he thought there'd be at least 7 minutes added. So he called it correctly. There were 7 minutes added, and Celtic score. Now, this is only an argument that's been hiding because Celtic have done it three times in the last week, or twice in the last week, because I think Alec Oxlade-Chamberlain was actually before the 90 minutes, just. But, you know, Junior Adamu against Dundee was 97.
Which is interesting you say that, because that does then become part of it, doesn't it? It's easy to form this idea. I reckon if you asked most non-Celtic fans, what minute did Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain score in, they'd go, ah, it must have been 95. It wasn't. Was it not? It was before the 90, or at least there or thereabouts. But it has become a thing, as you mentioned.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's... You know, Celtic go on and score the goals, but, you know, other teams are allowed to do it as well. I'm quite sure if you look back, most teams in the league have probably scored a goal beyond 90 minutes.
The counter to that is Motherwell's
second goal yesterday was about 93.
You know that Celtic are going to be pushing at the end, and that's where, because there was a Kilmarnock fan behind me, they were all raging when the board went up at 7 minutes.
But listen, the psychology of this is a completely different argument, because, you know... People might think, oh, Celtic did it against Dundee, did it against Livy, or they'll do it against Kilmarnock. Did the Kilmarnock players think that? Did he step back another couple of yards at a time like that? Did he forget that they're allowed to score as well? You know, if you bring in a psychologist, he could probably give you a two-hour speech in this on a Monday night, Gordon.
Andy, I did not want to spend my Sunday night watching elements of that back to see what all the social media hoo-ha was about, but in case you've not realised... You can just write anything on social media, put it in black and white, and people take it as gospel, and it becomes this big thing, and it gets shared over and over. I didn't have the stopwatch. I can't account for it all, but there was a head knock to Brad Lyons. He got hit with the ball. Don Thompson, I think, was get hit with the ball. Did he get hit in the face as well?
Yeah.
Tyrese John-Jules went down injured and had to go off. There was a trip. Was it a triple change in the second half, or was that the one at half-time?
There was three goals.
There was in the second half. Well, two
goals before.
So Celtic scored twice. I need to be honest, in just one man's opinion, and I was there and I watched the game and experienced the delays with no dog in the fight. I thought it was going to be seven or upwards of that, to be honest. So, and I know then after it becomes this thing, but I think if you go through all those, that adds up to seven or thereabouts, you would imagine.
Yeah, well, in all fairness, you watch more than me, but as I said, I had the privilege of watching a lot of the fantastic adverts for Scottish football yesterday, and in that I watched the first 65 minutes of the game at Rugby Park. So I watched 20 minutes of the second half, and in that 20 minutes there was two goals for Celtic. There was the Brad Lyons head knock that must have lasted at least a minute, and there was another player down injured for Kilmarnock. I don't think it was John Jones or Dom Thompson, but there was at least three stoppages in normal play, and there was obviously two goals. So, listen, I feel as if we're bordering on ridiculous how much we're hyper-analysing absolutely everything at this moment in time, because it shows how tense that the league title is, and you're going to be hyper-analysing everything, but certainly from what I've seen within the game, then you were expecting a lengthy period of injury time given the stoppages.
I think the fourth official, does he keep notes sort of thing as it goes? I think the assistant VAR maybe as well will keep an eye. It's not like people, the bit that jumps out from Neil McCann, I think they just make it up. it's kind of the opposite of that. They keep the tally as it goes. That's why
there have never been more officials attached to each game. You know, you've got the referee, you've got the two assistants, you've got the fourth official, you've got a VAR, you've got an assistant VAR. So between them all, you would surely trust that they would get something like that correct.
Well, what I would say on that though, just to play the devil's advocate slightly, just because somebody's taken a note doesn't mean it's all done perfectly and brilliantly. But the notion that it's made up, I think, is like factually incorrect, because like I say, there's a running tally. That's how, back to the, remember the Dundee one, where the, if it's a live game on TV, the commentator will hear it before, like, we're going to get 4 minutes. Oh, that's gone up to five because there's now an injury in the last minute. I'd rather be talking about something a bit more exciting on a Monday. But anyway, Matthew, can Celtic keep doing this? Is this a sign that they're, you know, onto something, or is it going to run out? Who were the big winners yesterday? Who's the favourites for the title now?
Favourites for the title, I've genuinely got no idea. On Wednesday, I was talking to work colleagues and friends and stuff, and I genuinely think you couldn't call it. Now, I think Rangers, I was kind of half watching that game, like I was nearly falling asleep after the Celtic game, all the energy it took out of me, so I'm not sure. It looked like Rangers sort of dominated that mainly, so I'd say it's between the two Glasgow teams. And then on whether Celtic can keep doing it, the answer is we don't know, but it's sort of, you were talking about Kilmarnock and other teams. I think when that time goes up and Celtic are pushing for a winner, I think they do take a step back, and right now Celtic do have that sort of, they do like believe that they're going to score right up till the end. But at some point, it can't keep happening. So for me, I hope they start to score and put teams away earlier. But it's one of these things. I don't think we're not going to get back to winning comfortably or it being easy like other seasons. This is how it's going to be for the rest of the season.
Yeah, your heart rate is going to suffer, Matthew, I fear, in the coming weeks.
Yes.
Well, make sure you give us a call back, Matthew. Enjoyed that. That was Matthew in the city centre. And we'll take more of your calls from either side of the, I was going to say either side of the title race. Or three, maybe four sides, depending who you listen to. So give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here to react to possibly the biggest weekend of the season yet. But then again, we could have said that before, and we'll say it again, I'm sure, at some point. Stephen is a Rangers fan. Did that result put you in the driving seat for the title, Stephen, or not?
The result was obviously positive. I kind of expected to beat Hearts at Ibrox. My big concern is I wasn't really convinced by the manner of the performance. I think with Danny Rule, you see with Celtic, right? Celtic yet again, 97th minute, and they batter down the door. And you know, when Motherwell equalised with us during the week, there was just nothing from us. You know, I feel like with Danny Rule, we don't really play with an intensity that they play with, and I don't know if that's going to result in us coming a cropper before the end of the season. Yeah. I've been very vocal.
I'm confused. Hold on, I'm confused, right? Because you did put the foot down a bit. You got the fourth at the end. You've lost twice to Hearts this season. They've not lost to you or Celtic. You go and win. There are maybe more general questions to be had about Rangers' performances, but do you think it was yesterday one of them? Surely you've got to just take more away from it than that.
No, because I think you have to look at more than just the result at times. And
My query is, was this one of those times?
Gordon, I know the point you're making, Stephen. I thought there was an intensity about Rangers yesterday. They fell behind twice at home against the league leaders and come back and won 4-2. And I actually thought when James Tavernier did that shot at the end, it was going to be 5-2. In the last week, take Celtic out for a minute, if you don't include Celtic. Rangers, the two games have been against the next best two teams in the league, Hearts and Motherwell, and they've taken 4 points. And had the game finished a minute earlier at third part, they would have taken 6 points. Celtic have taken on Livingston and Kilmarnock, who are the bottom two teams in the league, and have needed those dramatic finales to get past them. And there hasn't, you know, Celtic have needed those dramatic finales because there hasn't been a lot of intensity for large swathes of the game. Celtic's performance in the first half at Kilmarnock, the performance at that stage when Livingston equalised on Wednesday night, either side of the penalty kick. I'm actually surprised. I thought there was more intensity about Rangers yesterday than I was expecting there to be.
Yeah, I think I've offered loads of praise to Danny Rule specifically, whereas I've feel as if I've been honest in my views at Rangers' performance levels in games under Daniel, even though they've been winning games. But I actually thought Rangers done to Hearts yesterday what Hearts have done to Rangers and Celtic for the previous five games. I thought they outran them, I thought they outworked them, I thought they were more aggressive than them, and I thought they played with more intensity than them. And that's the reason I actually thought Rangers won the game. I think you could see with the starting lineup that Danny Rill put out, real height, athleticism, aggressiveness in the starting 11. I must say as well, you know, granted it was Queen's Park a week ago, but I felt on that day, I felt like Rangers looked a lot more creative and potent with the 4-2-2-2 or 4-4-2, however you want to call it. And I actually thought they would probably employ that on Wednesday at Motherwell, and when I seen that they were doing it yesterday against Hearts, it was interesting to see how it going again. And I think now Rangers have probably found a shape that suits this group of players.
Stephen, you're just a hard man to please by the sounds of it.
I don't know. I mean, I know you're talking about all Rangers did play with intensity. Aye, because Hearts made us have to do that in the first half. When you watch the game up until the Hearts goal, you could hear the fans grumbling, and it's because we play the way we generally play under Danny Rill, which is we don't create a lot of chances. We try to rely on set pieces. Now, look, at the end of the day, we beat Hearts, right? And Hearts were always going to fall away, and that's them done. Now, we're at the impasse.
They haven't fallen away. They're still top.
No, but again, look, I've said this many times, but we were 13 points behind. We're now 2 points. There's 11 games to go. We're in an upward trajectory. They're in a downward trajectory. Celtic have made...
You couldn't possibly have kept up the level of points per game you were on at that point. That's the other difference. Like, Hearts were never going to keep winning every week, and you were never going to keep losing every week. So of course Rangers have done well to claw it back, but this is not a sign of a Hearts collapse yet.
No, but I think the sign's been gradual and it's been there. Like I say, they've consistently dropped more points than us, hence the reason we're in their coattails, and we should be ahead of them because we should have dealt with Motherwell with 10 minutes to go with 10 men the other day. Celtic will be there or thereabouts. I discredited them the other day because I thought they would fall away and it would be a battle for second and third with them and Motherwell and Hearts, but I think it's Rangers and Celtic now. And the thing is, there's a big old fun game coming up, and ultimately we've got to take care of business, just put teams away. I'm a wee bit concerned about the manner of our performance. I thought when the new players came in the second half against Kilmarnock the other week, we were dynamic. We were absolutely tearing them apart. And I thought that gave me a massive sense of encouragement. That dropped off against Motherwell, and albeit they're good and all that. But
do you think the Kilmarnock performance was better than yesterday's?
On the second half, the second 45 against Kilmarnock is probably the best 45 we've played all season.
They were down to 10 men and
Rangers were poor in the first half.
Right, we were. That's granted, right? But I just don't think we were spectacular yesterday. And my main concern is we don't create a lot of chances. And by the way, see all the people who are bashing Chermity, I've backed him from maybe not the first game or two. But this guy, you give him opportunities. He missed a bad one against Motherwell, right? He kind of had a snapshot when he should have took a bit more time. I think he felt that there was bodies all around him, so he went for it. This guy, if we give him chances, will score. And I think with Scott Olsen, we saw that beautiful delivery with his bad foot. You know, when we've got these new quality players that we've added, I definitely see the positive signs. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm wary.
Where does it leave the title race for you?
Well, when the transfer window shut on February the 2nd, from now, I think they're well in amongst it. I think Rangers have came out the transfer window more improved, in my opinion, than Celtic and Hearts have. So for me, I think it put them right in amongst the conversation. Will it be enough for them to win the title? I'm not too sure at this moment in time.
You've been Team Hearts for a long time.
I have been.
What about your teammates?
Don't bring me into the Motherwell conversation. Like Jens Berto Askew says, take it one game at a time and we'll let everybody else talk about that as a conversation. You know, I'm a massive believer in performance levels. I believe if you perform at a certain level, week in, week out, the results will come. But yesterday was the type of game that, see if Rangers won the game and didn't perform well, that's fine. It's such a massive game. Win the game, most important thing, move on, try and look to improve your performance levels. But I actually thought Rangers performed really well yesterday. Again, I just spoke about how I feel as if Rangers have came out the end of the January transfer window, getting rid of players that were nowhere near the level, nowhere near the squad, and bringing in four players that I think can immediately improve their starting 11. And again, I thought that was evident yesterday. I think the introduction of Tor Romans at left back, I think, and listen, can't get too carried away. Was it three appearances or four appearances made? I think he's looked excellent in the Rangers jersey. I think Chukwuanyi, I think, has added a completely different dimension to the midfield. And I think Scott Volson has had a relatively slow start, but you can still see he's still got quality there. He's got a goal, he got a good assist yesterday. And I think Ryan Nedeiri, for me, looks like similar to Chermiti profile-wise, but I think he looks as if someone that can be effective in and around the penalty area as well. And in terms of Chermiti, Stephen, if you said you've backed him all season long, that's fair enough, that's your opinion. I also don't think he can be too overreactive after his hat-trick. Yes, it was a fantastic performance, fantastic hat-trick, I gave him a performance at the weekend, but throughout the course of the season, at this moment in time, he's not shown enough. That being said, I just said that I feel as if this formation suits that Rangers side. I think that implies to Chermiti as well. I think he looks suited to a partner up alongside him.
And yet, if Rangers do go and win the title, the victory against Hearts, the victory against Celtic, heavily contributed to by the goals from Youssef Chermiti.
Oh, I mean, listen, how many Rangers and Celtic strikers over the years have you seen and you thought they're flat track bullies? You know, they score against the teams at the bottom of the league and the big games come along and they don't score. He's the exact opposite. I think he's got seven goals and six of them have been against Celtic and Hearts. I mean, it's quite incredible. There are moments. I was teasing about Daz at the top of the show, but what Daz said in the show on Saturday probably summed up his performance at Fir Park. He didn't look great in possession, he didn't look quick, he didn't look as if he was going to score a goal, he didn't look like a Rangers number nine. And then he produces a performance like he did yesterday. He leads the line, he took all of his goals really well. You know, the third goal after the great run by Gassama, but the header for the second goal was terrific. He gets in between three Hearts defenders and booms the header past Swallow at the near post. A great goal. And he is a real enigma. And until I think he can shake that enigma tag and can bring a bit of consistency to his performances, then there'll always be question marks about him, Gordon.
Thank you very much to Stephen Collins and Wishaw. What did yesterday do for your title thoughts, Colin?
Hi there, how are you?
Good, thank you, good.
See the guy that was on to maybe a call before, I just want to bring up, he brought Queen's Park, we won 8-0, and then he said, oh, I thought after that performance when we went to Mull, we would have pumped them, and then it was 2-2. But you need to bear in mind, Mull are also fighting for the title, and we've went from 13 points to 2 points towards Hearts, so I don't really know how half the fans are complaining about that. Then they're talking about, oh, Chimiti did this, Raskin did that. So what? We won the game. Why are you complaining about that? We won 4-2 against Hearts that are top of the league for however many weeks. And now, apparently, because Chimiti scored a hat-trick, we have to now criticise half the players again, and then, Danny Rowe, does he know what he's doing? Aye, he does. Aye, he does. We're saying we've went from 13 points to 2 points.
How big do you think yesterday's win was in the bigger picture?
Oh, aye. I think, because we've shown that we can beat Hearts and they were a real title. Honestly, I thought they were going to win the league. I was actually going to put them, I put a coupon on for them. But I think Rangers will win it easily. Think about it, we're playing Celtic.
Easily.
Think about it, beat Celtic. Then after that, Celtic out the picture, it's just Hearts.
Well, that's not
Hearts have never won. They always crumble mid-season.
That's not how it would work. Anyway, Andy, Colin in amongst that said about you know Rangers not having beaten Hearts. It's amazing just to think the kind of jeopardy yesterday. It's just a 90 minute football game. Rangers won it. Hearts, if Hearts win that game, was that Rangers done in terms of catching Hearts? We must have been nearly in that territory. Even if you're not going to say yes, 8 points would have been unbelievable. So
yeah, I don't think they've been completely out of it, given there's obviously a game against Celtic to come, and Hearts have still got difficult fixtures when it comes to the split, but it would have been nearly insurmountable, I would say. But again, I honestly, I'm finding that absolutely baffling, Gordon, the amount of people that are just rolling Hearts out. I really am. A team that's been top of the table for 20 weeks.
Still top.
still top of the league after coming off the back of Celtic at home, St Mirren, Paisley, granted not playing well, but everybody's always said it's a difficult place to go. Hibernian in the derby and then Rangers at Ibrox, and they've came out of that period still top of the league. Now, it's the first time that Hearts have tasted defeat against Rangers and Celtic. I still thought they were well worthy. You know, we talked about what a great advert it was for Scottish football. That's because of the part that both teams played. Now, Hearts never got blown away by Rangers yesterday. And by the way, in case anyone's forgot, they're getting Lorne Shankland and Cammy Devlin back. Thankfully, Cammy Devlin, if a Hearts point of view, is coming back in a couple of weeks' time, and then Lorne Shankland will be couple of weeks beyond that.
It looks like he's settling into the Sky studio, quite the thing, though. After I thought the game at Tannadice.
You know what? See, I've been very lucky to do some punditry stuff with you guys and elsewhere. See, he's a press buffer. I thought it was a wee bit awkward sitting next to the national team manager.
Oh, I've that as well. Eh?
Yeah, just sitting next to Steve Clark there.
Do you think he tried at any point to get any wee hints? I mean, do you think Gaffer should I get my passport looked out?
Yeah, he scored against the Danes. His passport was validated.
He'll be the number
nine.
He'll be number nine.
That's a discussion for a different day, Roger Hanna.
To answer your question, Gordon. If Rangers lost yesterday, they were out of the title race. I thought that when Arroyo scored to put Celtic 3-2 up against Killy, that lifted Celtic above Rangers in the table. They also had that game in hand coming up at Pittodrie. I thought Rangers had to win the game, and fair play to them, they did win the game.
What are we seeing here then? Are we, and not everybody's saying it, but to people who are acting as if that's Hearts done.
No.
Why is that? Is that because of the way we're used to things here in the food chain and the budgets of Glasgow's Big Two? Because I can't imagine there are any other countries where you would discount the team that is literally at top of the league. Do you know what I mean? But for some reason, people are doing that.
People have been expecting the bubble to burst because that's the way things happen in the Scottish Premiership. But if you look at the fixtures now, I said this a couple of weeks ago before Hearts at Edinburgh Derby and the trip to Ibrox, those were the toughest fixtures pre-split. I think Hearts have a decent run of games. You know, the next two league fixtures, home to Falkirk, home to Aberdeen. I know they get knocked out of the cup before Falkirk at Tynecastle. Home to Falkirk, home to Aberdeen. So I can see Hearts bouncing back with maximum points from those games. And then it's going to be up to Rangers and Celtic to keep pace with them to the split. Once we get to the split, Gordon, my goodness, all bets are off.
Well, before we move on and take any more of your calls, and I hope there are many, so keep them coming in, let me tell you about this. Yes, on Friday it was Craig who won the £450,000.
I'm actually getting married on the 13th of May. This will go towards that. I'm just shocked. We've been out on since the beginning, so I'm shaking. Oh my God, I don't know how to take it all in.
It's going to be some wedding that. Each week it's getting bigger. You could win £475,000 this Friday. It's all tax free. Get in the draw right now. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll also find the rules for this network competition. It is over 18s only. You can also call 03434 269340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only, like I said. Lines close 5pm Friday, so don't miss out. Text YES to 61025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here at 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. And I'm not saying things are getting fraught out there, but Jiggy has pulled me up on Twitter because I said I thought the Oxlade-Chamberlain goal might have come before the 90, and he said, "You're playing it down, it was 90 plus 1 and I just checked, and Jiggy is right. To be fair, it was 40 seconds after the 90. I simply have to hold my hands up. What is the next few months of this season going to be like? Tensions are high, Roger Hanna.
Oh, tensions are running high, and they're only getting higher. As they say, the mercury is rising.
You can just imagine how fans heading off to the game, right? Season ticket, scarf, something to drink, stopwatch, just to keep a wee eye on things.
A certain game comes up in 2 weeks' time as well.
I don't think I'll be off that day.
We need a Super Scoreboard official timekeeper, but I don't think they've got a clock in those Nokias. So Hewitt,
speaking of him, I've got two updates from you.
I was about to ask, because I have been concerned.
Which will not surprise you. Which of these is the least surprising though for you, Andy? Because you weren't on over the weekend. Firstly, that he took Celtic to lose at Kilmarnock and got it wrong.
Not surprising for
you. Or secondly, that he went early and sent a gloating message at half time.
I'm going to go slightly more surprising, number two.
How can he never learn his lesson? See, even at 2-0, just wait till full time, Shug. You'll be the smartest guy in the room if you, against all the odds, predicted it. No, but he had to send me the message at half time. Who would predict a Kelly win, eh? It said 45 minutes later.
Did they message you back at full time?
No, I didn't hear from him until I messaged him. So.
Is he? I'm glad he has been messaging. I was worried about him. Lady Keevan's in my league for three nights over Valentine's weekend. How he was coping with the microwave meals.
I'm sure he'll be just fine. Who have we got on the line? There are loads of calls coming in, trying to reflect on a busy weekend, and please do keep them coming. I think we've got Andy first. Hi, Andy.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. What are you thinking as a Celtic fan? Was yesterday big? Was it not decisive? Was it potentially title winning stuff, or you got concerns? How would you sum up your feelings today?
I was happy with the sort of late win, and to be honest, I thought Kilmarnock played well in the first half. But my major concerns with Celtic right now are between Kasper Schmeichel, because he looks way overweight, and he's not been the same since he got injured. I think it was in Denmark duty, like maybe March or April last year, and Rio Hatate, I would cancel his contract right now. Just never let him play again. He is done. He is rotten.
I don't know. I don't know what Kasper Schmeichel's weight is and what it was. So let's
I'm not in a position to throw stones on this.
Let's play it safe. Should he have done better yesterday?
Yeah.
And is this becoming a recurring theme?
He should have done better yesterday. I'm not an expert in these matters. For me,
weight gain.
He should have moved his feet. I know goalkeepers tend to be judged by what hand they use, what arm they put up for the ball. If he had moved his feet along the line, he would have had a better chance of probably holding the header from Joe Hugel, which spun over him. So it was a mistake. It's not up there with John McCracken or Scott Bain over the weekend. It was a mistake. There is no way Celtic are dropping Kasper Schmeichel, because there's nobody in the premises who they could put in the team that Martin Neil would have more faith in.
Andy, you're a goalie basher. Mm-hmm. That's one of your great hobbies.
Yes.
Is this a goalie you're willing to bash?
Oh yeah, I agree with Roger. I think he should move his feet. I've also seen a couple of people say that he's struggling with his left shoulder. Well, if he can't save it with his left arm, then he shouldn't be playing. You know, they've got a goal in Sinisalo that it's had few opportunities. Yes, he's not done enough to oust Kasper Schmeichel for his position, but if Kasper Schmeichel can't save a shot with his left hand or go for a save with his left hand, then he shouldn't be in goals.
I don't think there's any chance of Martin O'Neill changing the goalkeeper.
No, either they are, but again, the point being that people are saying he's struggling with a left shoulder. Ultimately, I do agree he should be moving his feet better. In terms of Andy's second point, with Rio Hatate, they should cancel his Celtic contract. Well, if reports like it be true, I think Rio Hatate would be delighted with that, because for a long period of time, it doesn't look as if he wants to beat Celtic anymore. And I honestly can't, I don't think I can remember an individual downfall like Rio Hatate's at Celtic.
Because you were one of his biggest.
I've said, but certainly more than once on this show, that having played against him, having watched him plenty of times, I think Rio Hatate on form for me was the best player in the league last season. He has been far away from that this year. I think Martin O'Neill in his first interim spell, I thought he got a little bit of a tune out of Rio Hatate. I think he started to see signs of the old Rio Hatate levels, but I mean, over the last month or so, yeah, and throughout the majority of this season, Rio Hatate just looks like a completely different player.
Andy, what yesterday did do is potentially put the arithmetic in your court, so to speak, because although you're third, you've got that game in hand, and if you win it, you go level in points with Hearts at the top. So where are you now on the title race?
I would say we're in. It was actually probably good for Rangers to beat Hearts yesterday, on a Celtic point of view. Most Celtic fans don't want Rangers to win, but it does, like, Hearts up points. So if we do get that win, but
so
I think
you didn't want to draw.
I was hoping for a draw, really, but. I watched both games yesterday, and to be honest, I thought the Rangers Hearts game was actually an all bad game of football, and it was just a bit open, I thought. And to be honest, I thought Kelly were the better team in the first half. Like, and then Celtic came on and obviously got the late winner, but that Celtic can't keep scoring goals in the 97th minute or whatever it is. Like, they can't keep doing that. It's not a recipe for success.
Mm. We will see. Thank you, Andy. What about Michael on the other line? Anything else that jumped out from that game at Rugby Park, Michael?
Well, me Gordon yesterday, yes, definitely the penalty the referee missed, the handball from the Kelly player.
Which one?
Handball, the one in the first title, where it was, second half, I think. It's a handball, the boy punched it. It's a handball.
The one where Brad Lyons, and it kind of bounces up.
Aye, that one.
It hits him in the head.
No, I thought he's on first. It's had a handball, Gordon. I've seen it the replay today. I've seen it a few times.
Michael, that hits his head. I'm serious.
No, sorry, it's on, mate. I'm being serious. I've seen the replay.
I've been more serious.
This is not an argument I want to have. The point of view I was wanted to make.
Just listen, because it's a valid one. Again, another one I've seen on social media. Again, we mentioned tensions being heightened. There is an angle there that it looks like it hits Brad Lyon's hand. So I accept that. But it hits his head. And that's why a penalty. Yeah. Do you know what sometimes is a clue? It's never a cast iron guarantee. If it's the one that where it pops up that I'm thinking of, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is the one that's with Brad Lyons and he's bustling through and he does not. There is no reaction anywhere that would lead you to believe the Celtic players thinks that it hits Brad Lyons' hand. Should that not send alarm bells a little bit that it maybe didn't?
Yeah, sometimes you can certainly get a gauge off opposing players or your own teammates' reactions of what they feel was a handball or not. I don't know if you were at the game, Michael, or you're watching the game on the telly, or you've seen a clip on Twitter and got your point off it, but it's factually hit his head. I know you said you don't want to have this argument, but it actually factually hit his head. There's no opinion about it.
Moving slightly to the side, in the other game, the Stuart Finlay one. Stuart Finlay heads the mm-hmm. clearance. It comes down off his hand, yep. Clearly strikes his hand mm-hmm. and goes away from goal. Rangers players were claiming for a penalty. Don Robertson Don Robertson or Ibrox?
Yeah, ref, yeah.
Yeah, Ibrox, not given. Why is that not a penalty? You know these things.
No, because there's never an answer that covers you all. I think from the ones we've seen this season and the guidance is that if you hit it onto your own hand... Uh-huh. In an instance like that, you would accept that it's a pretty natural place for his hand
to be. Going away from goal.
I don't even know if that's as much, just more about the position of the hand. I think if your hand is in a crazy position, mm-hmm. wildly above your head, and you still might not get away with it. It's mm-hmm. not a blanket thing right. to say you head it onto your hand.
I thought that was more of a penalty, handball penalty, than the other incident.
You're obviously asking in terms of the law. I'm so happy that's not a penalty.
We all need to try and be sensible about that, don't we?
Yeah.
Michael, sorry, what was your other point? Hijacked you there just to see what the guys thought of the.
My other point was, I agree with your last caller, Andy. His time is up. He's not. His head's out the door, and I mean out the door. As Andy pointed out, before the last caller was on, as Andy said, it was brilliant to start with Martin O'Neill's first spell, but see now, his head's gone. He wants to leave the club. So, as Andy, the previous caller, said, wrap his contract up, even put him in the stands. He's not good enough. He's not what he'd be there. He does not want to beat the club.
Is it that simple? You need to sell Rio Hatate if that's the case.
It's funny, Michael, because when the club signed Alec Oxlade-Chamberlain a week or so ago, I thought, that's an odd one. I thought Celtic were in greater need of centre-halves than they were of centre-midfield players. I thought they were really well-stocked in central midfield. And then all of a sudden, Arnie Engels gets an injury that's going to keep him out to the end of March. Paolo Bernardo has just disappeared off the radar completely. And you see the performance that Hatate put in the first 45 minutes yesterday. And I can't argue with anything you've said. I mean, Hatate, on his day, is a terrific player. But I'm struggling to think when the last time was that he was on his day. And Celtic are in the middle of a three-way title fight. Every player should be absolutely busting a gut in every minute of the game. Both for Celtic, for Rangers, for Hearts. None of the three teams can carry any passengers in any game between now and the end of the season. And I wonder when you'll see Rio Hatate again, because Martin O'Neill will not tolerate performances like he produced in the first 45 minutes yesterday.
Okay, thank you to Michael. Actually going to leave the first hour with some sad news. I wouldn't normally do that, but we've lost a Scottish football icon tonight, Roger Hanna. Robert Duvall, a shot at glory, forever etched into Scottish football history. Gone but never forgotten.
Yeah, condolences to
the Duvall family
and all of his friends. He threw himself into the role of Kilnockie manager. The likes of John McVeigh and Ali McCoist and various other Scottish football luminaries were in that. I think it must have been about late 90s the film was made. And I remember, I think it was the 99 Old Firm Cup final, which was the first one back at Hampden after the redevelopment. It was the Rangers-Celtic Cup final. And Robert Duvall was on the BBC panel of punditry. He came along with, I'm sure McCoist was one, and maybe somebody else, obviously a former Celtic player, in the studio. And he was there with Dougie Donnelly giving his verdict in the Old Firm game. A Hollywood icon who came to Scottish football and loved it.
There we go. If he was a bit crass to go and play the big beat the pundit music on the back of that sad news, but I need to apologise and do it anyway. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And right on cue, I'm still getting clips of the ball bouncing off the top of Brad Lyon's head. Sent. But there we go. Let's play Beat the Pundit. It's always a tough school on a Monday, but I love the ambition out there because it never holds you back. We always get so many people trying to play. 01419511025. And the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here looking back on a big weekend. We need your thoughts though. How big was it? How does the title race look now after yesterday's combination where Rangers win, go within two of Hearts, Celtic are a point further back but have a game in hand? There is a late show, debates about how much time should be added on. This is proper Scottish football, this stuff. So do get involved and we'll speak to you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. A tough school on a Monday. These two both pretty good at this type of thing, but Callum and Rob Royston wants to topple them. How are you, Callum?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Is this your debut on Beat the Pundit?
Yeah, no, I've never been on it.
If you win, would you take the Beat the Pundit coin or the sign ball?
Probably the ball.
Did you not get your own coin?
Yeah, I've got my coin.
You got it for getting multiple tens.
Got one.
What have you done with it?
Oh, it's in pride of place in the house.
Mantelpiece.
Come around and have a look. Yeah.
Up in the mantelpiece.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
A dent for a coin.
It's up there. It's up there next to my framed Andy Halliday jumper.
Oh, of course. Great reaction to that last week.
No wonder.
Can I'm ashamed to admit how many times I watched it back. I was there, in case you hadn't noticed. I was very much a part of it, but I've watched it back so many times because
it's Andy's reaction.
The timing could not have been better, because for whatever reason he decides to sort of turn in his chair and he's looking at me, he's looking at the screen, and he then says the line, "I've not seen many people wearing the jumper," at which point you're stripping off behind him. Oh, it was genius.
It was good. I'll get it. You've done me. Don't worry, I'll get my comeuppance.
For anyone who's wondering what on earth we're on about, go and check it out on our
social media. He was panicking when I was wearing a zipper, right, wasn't he?
I came in and said, "What's under your zipper?" What, is there some sort of Roger Hanna range that we should know about?
I've absolutely no idea. Only a matter of time.
Right, okay, anyway, the blue side of the coin will be Andy Halliday and the red side will be Roger Hanna. And it is red for Roger, I'm afraid. Callum, you're up against Mr.
Good luck,
Hanna.
Callum.
And you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
No.
Top man, Callum, your 30 seconds is going on that clock and it all starts right now. Which current Rangers player has the most Scotland caps?
Sure.
In what month of 2025 did Celtic last lead the league?
August.
How many current Scottish Premiership clubs has Mark O'Hara played for? Which Scotland international plays for Sassuolo in Italy?
What, sorry?
Which Scotland international plays for Sassuolo in Italy?
Chad Evans.
Simon Murray joined Dundee from which other Scottish team?
Southampton.
I'm giving you one more. Before Kilmarnock, which other Scottish team has Kelle Roos played for?
Livingston.
Okay, just because you couldn't hear me. Right, Roger Hanna, are you back? You got us.
Yep. Two classic
switching between David Bowie and Neil Diamond.
Well, I was going to try and play that back on like a VAR check, because you were tapping the desk, you were miming the lyrics. I was going to see if I could piece those two together and
come up with the second most famous Bowie, David, and then Neil Diamond. Forever in Blue Jeans.
Okay. Right, you ready?
Just dance.
30 seconds.
Let's dance.
Let's dance.
Mm-hmm.
Who's paying attention to that? 30 seconds on the clock. Roger Hanna, your time starts now. Which current Rangers player has the most Scotland caps?
Suter.
In what month of 2025 did Celtic last lead the league?
September.
How many current Scottish Premiership clubs has Mark O'Hara played for?
Four.
Which Scotland international plays for Sassuolo in Italy?
Josh Doig.
Simon Murray joined Dundee from which other Scottish team?
Ross County.
Before Kilmarnock, which other Scottish team has Kelle Roos played for?
Aberdeen.
Who's the youngest permanent manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Oh, could it be Marvin Bartley?
I said permanent.
I thought he was permanent.
Why is he not permanent? Why have you done this to me on this sheet? How's Marvin Bartley not permanent?
David Martindale's a director of football.
As we know, we saw him the other night.
It's probably not the right answer, but he is a permanent manager.
Why is Marvin not a permanent manager? This is what I need cleared up. Oh no, he's older. He's just older. Never
he's
mind.
Older.
Aye, that's
oh,
all
okay.
it is.
That's
right,
okay.
Okay. Message received loud and clear. I was worried there. He's older than
Danny Rowe.
Danny Rowe. We'll get to that. Which current Rangers player has the most caps for Scotland? John Souter. You both got it. Roger Hannah starts on minus one, so Callum and Rob Royston stays in front. In which month of 2025 did Celtic last lead the league? It was September. Callum said August.
What a shout.
0-0 draw with Hibs. That feels about 5 years ago.
It does.
Brendan Rodgers would have been in charge.
A lot of water under the bridge.
Well, we kept saying that. It at the weekend. 20 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20 weeks on Saturday. Hearts have been top since. So there we go. How many current Scottish Premiership clubs have has Mark O'Hara played for? Currently it's St Mirren, Motherwell, Dundee, Kilmarnock. It's four. Roger Hannah is on fire, I'm afraid to tell you, Callum. And when he catches fire, it is never good for the contestant. Josh Doig plays for Sassuolo. Simon Murray joined from Ross County. And Kelleroos played for Aberdeen. So Callum only got one on the board. Roger Hannah got one, two, three, four, five, six. But we take one off, don't we? For your minus one, it was still a 5-1 victory. You're not going for the 10, though. No more coins for you. Danny Rule's only 36. Even David Gray's younger than Marvin Bartley.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd never get that.
Marv's 39 and Mercedes Jens 43. So.
Yeah. No, I would never get that. I would never have. Even if I'd got Danny Rule, I would have thought Marv was younger than David. There you go.
There you go. Callum, it's a tough school on a Monday. But I like the fact that you had the you know what's to give it a go.
No, I know.
Who's your team, Callum?
Rangers. I thought they done brilliant yesterday. Watched the game; they're absolutely amazing yesterday. But Hearts were pretty good. But I think Rangers over the course of the game looked stronger.
How big do you think it was? Like, where's your confidence levels now about who wins the league?
Probably eight till after the sum. But I think if Rangers can get by Celtic. And then maybe Hearts for a couple of points. If Rangers go top, we'll stay there. But we still need to get there, I think. So
that would be the thing in amongst that stat. So Rangers have not been top. So you're looking at when could they get there. And it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you get there with one
the
week to go.
We would have been top if we'd beat Motherwell. We would have been top goal difference than Motherwell. But they done well the other night. I think, to be fair, they probably deserve more at that game, to be honest.
Just so interested in all because like the psychology now, everything's ramped up, you know, that how do Hearts respond to this latest setback? What kind of boost does this give Rangers? Again, Celtic might be the ones actually because they've got their game in hand, so you don't quite know yet. Yeah. And are the late goals a good sign or are they a sign of a team that isn't going to win? It's going to be some analysis to be had coming up.
Yeah, and you don't know what it means for Celtic because I think it can be both. I think it is worrying signs that three of the bottom four are taking you to the 90th minute without you playing all that great. But of course, it's a brilliant characteristic to have that when you're not at your best, that you're winning games and scoring goals in the last minute. So what is an absolute cast iron guarantee, though, is we've said it so many times, it's been the most engrossing top flight season for many a year. And what's a guarantee is it can only get better.
That's the thing, Roger, even if there is some sort of aversion of a Hearts collapse, like it's too late in the season for them to not kind of be there or thereabouts.
They're going to be players in this title run, and there's 3 points between three teams at the minute. If Celtic avoid defeat at Pittodrie in their game in hand, there will be 2 points between three teams. Even the goal difference, you know, Callum touched upon if Rangers had won at Motherwell. You know, goal difference here, Hearts plus 26, Rangers plus 26, Celtic with a game in hand plus 22. So you could be looking at, I mean, we laugh and reminisce and we're nostalgic about Helicopter Sunday and that shootout a couple of years before Helicopter Sunday. We could have a three-way Helicopter Saturday on the final day of the season, and it could come down to goal difference. This is how exciting this league season has become.
And I know sympathy in Scottish football is in short supply, but can we give a little bit of sympathy for the people at the SPFL who are in charge of the post-split fixtures, who to play where and when to play them? Because even in recent seasons, you always look at, well, stick Celtic at home in the last day because they'll have won the league and they can have their trophy and everything is going to be up in there.
Like the helicopter?
Perhaps.
It has all the hallmarks of one of the most exciting title finales ever. You know, you just imagine Helicopter Saturday, three games, Hearts play some, Rangers play some, Celtic play some. We get to 90 minutes, there's 3 minutes added on in the Hearts game, there's 6 minutes added on in the Rangers game, there's 11 minutes added on in the Celtic game.
Hughes already crowned champions at half-time.
Hughes giving the title to Motherwell.
Where are Motherwell in all this?
You could end up being Kingmaker, if nothing else.
Or just Kings.
You imagine the conspiracy theories if in the last day Celtic are sent to Fir Park, Rangers are sent to Easter Road, like 2005, Motherwell have...
No, Hearts have got
Falkirk.
I'm more interested in... we'll just start them early, just to, so that you know this stuff doesn't exist only in Glasgow. Let's say Celtic play...
Hibs. Yeah, I've thought the same.
What do Hibs want?
You know as well as I do what Hibs fans
are. Come on, I'm anti-conspiracy theories usually.
Has Chris Sutton just come in? Are you just going to say Hibernian are going to lie down?
Not
Gordon Duncan.
I wouldn't dream of it.
That's outrageous.
I wouldn't dream of it. But
these are professional footballers.
I wouldn't say Hibs professionals would. But the Hibs fans, would the Hibs fans
want? Hibs fans would be in some position, would they not? Aren't the Jambos to win the league, Hibs fans?
No
chance. We've got a bit of time.
So the last day of the season, the new pals at the SPFL, they've got to give...
Any of my pals? I don't know him at the SPFL.
So Hearts can't play Hibs. And Rangers and Celtic couldn't play Hibs.
Or play each other. So nobody plays.
On Motherwell if they're in the race.
Just toss a coin. Toss the super scoreboard coin and see where it lands.
Goodness me.
Thank you to Callum on the line. Let's hear from the managers yesterday to see how they feel after what could be a decisive day. We'll find out. Danny Rule, then straight into Derek McInnes.
Big respect to my group. I think we showed today how big is the personality, how big is the character. Let's speak not until the end of the season about the mentality of this group, because we have a lot of mentality. It's not about this football, it's about mistakes or not mistakes. We fully deserved over 90 minutes to win. We give them two presents today. Yeah, at the end we won. Big credit to my group. We played good football, and yeah, now it's about recover, enjoy the evening, and then we go again. Yeah, I think it was the first time since I'm here that Ibrox was like Ibrox. Yeah, you felt it, what it means. I'm very positive. I think we want to have this atmosphere in the stadium.
We came here with a lot of expectations on ourselves, but we still feel, although we've lost a fight today, there's still a war to win and we're still well in it. You know, for us to be top of the league at this stage of the season is testament to the efforts of the players, and I've seen enough today that there's still a lot of fight and courage about our performance. We've now got some good games on paper coming up, and it's important that we try and maximise the games coming up, and hopefully, as I said, we get into the post-split games. When we play with Rangers and Celtics again, that there's still a... there's still a fight to be won. We're against a team who spent 40, 50 million on a couple of windows. There's no shame in losing, and we're disappointed, but we're still fighting. The fact that we're up there with two heavyweights, with Rangers and Celtic, says a lot about the lads. And with 11 games to go, we don't feel as if we're going to go anywhere.
Yeah, listen, I don't think they are going to go anywhere. It's been a roller coaster few weeks for Hearts. You know, they got that last minute win in the derby through the week. They had lost at St Mirren before that. They've had some great league results. They've been out the Scottish Cup at home to Falkirk. So they've had injuries, as Andy said earlier on. You know, Shanklin's taken back, Devlin's taken back, Kingsley's taken back in as well. The squad will get strengthened for the run. And I do think they've got the best run of fixtures before the split. So I think come the split, they will still very much be in it. And then it really is a case of best team wins a league.
Yeah, I thought it was a fair assessment by both managers. We've clarified it was obviously a huge game for both. It was a huge game for Rangers, but I thought it was a big game for Danny Rule as well. Not in the grave sense that, you know, it was going to be defining for his job or what fans thought about him, but I thought at Firth Park on Wednesday, I thought it was the first time that you could maybe point fingers at Danny Rule and feel that he maybe made a mistake or two within the game on Wednesday night. But then for me, got his shape right, as I said, got his team right, got his performance right, and ultimately got the win then from Derek McInnes's point of view. I thought he summed up the game pretty well. And like he says, they can be disappointed, but they certainly can't be despondent, because they're well in amongst it.
Well, let's go to Frank, who's on the phone lines. Hi, Frank.
Hey, good evening, Gordon, guys. Just a couple of football points now we aside after that. That's okay.
Go for it.
I think it's remiss of MD, who's interested in the Scottish title race, to to not put Motherwell into the mix of this title race. It's I think if they win their league game in hand, they're 7 behind Hearts with 12 games to go, well, 11 by then probably. And I think they're the forum team. I think they're the team who are playing the best football. And I think I just can't believe that it's just the three teams that are constantly mentioned. I would ask, can NBC, any of the teams, or is it possible for Motherwell could go and beat all the teams they've still got to play? Is that a possibility?
Andy Haldy's trying to stay with this. So listen, Roger, it's over to you.
I know what you mean, points-wise. Could Motherwell win their game in hand and move 7 behind? Of course they could. Could they catch one of the teams, I think, potentially, with a fair wind? If one of the teams falls off, they could catch one of them. I don't think they can catch all three. I mean, just arithmetically, I'm not so sure they could catch all three teams and win the league.
It's always been my half Motherwell hat, half work cat on. The thing that would hold me back slightly is not the points gap to Hearts. If Motherwell win it, 7 games is 7 points if they win their game in hand. With all those games left, as Frank says, there are 2 other teams in between. Yeah. And I think that sometimes gets lost.
They're not all going to collapse.
If you are second and you are 7 points behind, that is a very different picture from being fourth and being 7 points.
Motherwell started to play Hearts twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you are.
I know you hate the word if. What would your feelings be if Celtic didn't score in the 97th minute, in the 91st minute against Livingston and Kilmarnock? Where's your feelings there?
You know what I'm going to say? If my...
No, but just listen, it's a perfectly valid point. There was only 2 games very recently, last minute goals. Would you feel a wee bit different about it?
Obviously, because the points gap would be much...
But, well, I mean, there would still be 2 teams in between, though. But, yeah, like he says, there would be...
Yeah, so it's the combination of both, then. You know, I'm not saying it's all about the number of teams. I would love Frank to be correct, for the record.
If I was Motherwell, I'd focus all of my energies on winning the Scottish Cup. Because I think winning the Scottish Cup is far more attainable for Motherwell this season than storming into the top three. I think the win the game yesterday against Aberdeen, deservedly so, far, far more important is winning at Pittodrie on Wednesday night in the rearranged game. Because that takes you to a quarter final at Dunfermline. Whether or not Lenny's listening, that's winnable for Motherwell. You're suddenly back in a semi-final at Hampden in a competition that Hearts are out, Hibs are out. By the time you get to the semi-finals, either Rangers or Celtic are going to be out. You're going to have knocked out Aberdeen already. It's going to be winnable for Motherwell. That's the thing that I would invest in between now and the end of the season.
The cups do have that random nature to them as well, don't they? I always think it's when you say focus your attentions as if you can try harder to win a cup. I don't know if it works like that.
Listen, I know the point you mean. I think Motherwell have more chance of winning the cup than they have of finishing in the top three.
Frank, what was your aside? I'm quite excited about your aside.
Well, I'll give you my aside, but I need to come back in the Motherwell thing. There's an absolute dismissal, and it's really disrespectful of Motherwell. And I'm sorry, but to use the word the other three teams would have to collapse. You said the three teams other than Motherwell would have to collapse for Motherwell to win the league. They're only 7 behind. It's not that they're 17 behind. They're 7 points behind. These teams are going to knock lumps at each other as well as other teams on the way. If one team out of the four, one team can go like train to the end, they'll win the league.
Do you see where I'm coming from, though, Frank? And again, I love you to be right. And you're being more optimistic about Motherwell than I am, but my thing is not can they outperform Hearts, or can they outperform Rangers, or can they outperform Celtic? I believe they could. It's can they outperform all of them at the same time? Sorry, say it again.
Why not?
I think the arithmetic might be quite difficult when they're going to pick up points in other places.
The arithmetic, I think, if Motherwell were to win, let's just toss one draw into it. If they win 10 of the next 11, or 11, pardon me, sorry, 11 of the next 12, whatever the game's left, if they draw one and win the rest, I would say they're pretty certain to win the league with that for them. I would say so.
I like your working.
That's my opinion. But the other thing, as you know, I'll still say again, Gordon, as I said at the very start of the season, after two or three games, the only two teams in Europe I'll turn my telly on to watch. I love my Celtic. I wouldn't miss Celtic. After Motherwell and PSG, and it stands.
Oh, I like that bracket. It's a good bracket, that.
They're the only two teams who actually make me excited at watching a game of football right now. And that includes all your Premiership, Arsenal and the rest of them. The only team who play with complete commitment to attacking, exciting football, the only two in Europe are PSG and Motherwell.
This is where you can come in. What was yesterday like?
I thought it was a brilliant game. It's the fourth time we've played Aberdeen this season. I thought Aberdeen were vastly improved on the previous three games. But I just felt that any time that we managed to beat their press, which was an aggressive press compared to the other three, I thought we looked like scoring goals. I thought we looked extremely dangerous. And like I said, 19 clean sheets for the season. It looked as if that was going to be tested. Definitely yesterday, Aberdeen had their chances within it. But I thought well worth the victory, and certainly could have scored more goals.
I'm not taking the mickey when I ask this. I'm deadly serious. If Motherwell finish fourth and qualify for Europe, but don't win the Scottish Cup, will there be a sense of, I don't know whether disappointment's the right word, that the great football of this season hasn't amounted to anything tangible, if you know what I mean?
Thank you for asking. It's been too enjoyable, I would say. I know what you mean, because you think, you know what I mean? Could have been different.
And Hugh, Hugh's written it off, enjoy this while you can, and ask who's leaving in the summer, and all of this. Would you take it again next season, a fourth place finish in that kind of football?
Probably.
Do you know what?
Like
he says, I will stay away from title challenge conversations. And I'm not just saying this because I'm contacted to Motherwell. If it's the case next season, I'm telling you, I'm season ticket at Motherwell, because I would choose to watch Motherwell just like Frank over anyone. And again, like he says, the product of football that you're watching on a week to week basis, a joy to watch.
Right, Frank, I'm now really late, but I'm still keen to hear your aside. Make it snappy.
My side's coming, but I would just...
Oh, no, Frank, honestly, I'm six minutes late for the break.
Give me 2 seconds.
Yes, Frank. This is live radio, Frank. I'm 6 minutes late.
Andy, if you want to watch your manager's title football next season, you might be buying a season ticket for 30
Imagine that when the application dropped in.
Sure you would, Andy, because I think you love football. But the point I'm making is... The other wee point was, God rest his soul, Robert Duval. I was a taxi driver in Glasgow for 25 years, and I had him in my taxi. The only time in 25 years I had somebody in my taxi 2 nights in a row, and it was Robert Duval.
Brilliant. What are the chances of that? Two nights in a row?
Brilliant.
Incredible. And it's incredible. And it was at the time of the film, The Shot to Glory, mm-hmm. whatever it was called, sorry. And he was... Basically, and I don't mean this in any of this, but he was off his head. He was nuts. He was an absolute hoot. He cussed like a trooper in a nice way. And he referred to Ally McCoy simply as McCoyst in a nice way. But his biggest thing in the two journeys we had was his love for Jimmy Johnson. He just couldn't stop talking about Jimmy Johnson.
Brilliant. Frank, I really appreciate the memories. I'm about to get sacked, which might be a relief to a lot of people, but this break needs to happen. So let's do it, and we'll be back with more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here at 0141 951 1025. I always love the speed at which you come up with these full-time teasers. So as soon as something happens, you then get thinking and it's inspired you, and that's exactly what Mark in Paisley has done. Let's set it up.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Okay, before Youssef Chirmiti, can you name the last 8 non-British players to score an Ibrox hat-trick? So before Youssef Chirmiti, can you name the 8 non-British players to score an Ibrox hat-trick? It's thanks to Mark and Paisley for coming up with the question, I should say, and thanks to Arcaplan Glasgow for helping us out, our new sponsor on the full-time teaser as well.
Karim Benzema.
Oh, sorry, no. I'm thinking this must be limited to
League.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh right, okay. That's a different.
Oh, it's for Rangers, sorry. To be fair, it just says Ibrox in the question. It's for Rangers.
Oh right, okay. Right, oh,
that makes it easy.
Right, non-British players.
Yep.
Morelos.
Yes, twice. St Joseph's and Kilmarnock.
Jermaine Defoe.
No. That always worries me when you get one like that.
No.
Scott Arfield.
He's British also. Non-British. Oh. Come on.
Scott Arfield.
Because of the Canadian thing?
Yeah.
No.
Trying to think.
Yeah. Arfield get one at Fir Park. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he did.
Not at Ibrox.
Ibrox. Yeah. I scored a hat trick for Rangers.
Four Rangers at Ibrox. Last eight non-Brits.
Shota Avaladze.
Yes. Okay. We'll take one more guess, Roger, if you fancy it. No.
Michael Malls.
No. It was. He was just outside the.
So it's more recent than.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Okay, let's leave it there. We're looking for the last eight non-British Rangers players to score an Ibrox hat trick. The worst of it is Mark had Rangers in the question. I just chose to ignore it for reasons unknown to everyone. So my apologies to Mark. There we go. Let's get Edward and Harrington on the line. Hi, Edward.
Hi, hi, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. Who are the favourites for the league after yesterday?
If I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was, I think I would put some money on Rangers, to be honest. I think they look the strongest. They've done well in the January window. I think they've signed well. And yeah, if I'm a Celtic man myself, so if we could maybe stutter over the line, but I think it'd be a miracle if we do.
But why not your team then? Because obviously the game in hand would take you joint top in points, at the top of the table. Why is that not doing it for you?
I just think we're lacking a wee bit of something. I think we're lacking a wee bit of proper firepower up front. I know these boys have come in, but I know it's early as well, so I'm being a bit judged, but I don't fancy them, to be honest. And the defence is all over the shop. That was my other point about Arsene Trusty. I've never seen a worse centre half in my life, to be honest. I'm a bit out of breath because I'm down chopping wood. I had to get out of the house because the family's doing my head in, wife and kids, so I'm chopping wood, so I'm a wee bit out of breath. Sorry about that, but...
I hope Edward's wife and kids are listening, incidentally.
Thank God they can't get it. I've got it on the... Yeah, so,
honestly, don't do anything crazy with that axe. Just get your breath back and we'll speak in a second. Edward's Celtic fan, but doesn't necessarily fancy them to win it. He's not convinced by the new attacking players. Adamu started yesterday. I actually thought he'd. I didn't think he'd have loads to work with, and I thought he just was asked to just fight Robbie Deas. He then came off. Now he did get his goal against Dundee. Mvuka didn't make the squad.
Injured.
Okay.
I actually think the signings have done better than maybe I thought. We speak about these last minute goals. Of the last minute goals, Adamu got one.
Sure.
To send it to extra time. Oxlade-Chamberlain got the one against Livi. Arroyo, who is still a January signing, got the one yesterday. Fanchara came on and, you know, was involved in the move for the goal yesterday. So I think quietly, you know, they're not multi-million pound signings, they're only stopgap loan signings. But I think quietly, they've actually done okay. And Martin O'Neill will probably need them because, as some of the corners said earlier, Hatate's gone off a cliff. Maeda's form is down. Engels is going to be injured to the end of next month. I think he'll need them all. And they have actually impressed me, the majority of them, since they've come in, Gordon.
I'm not saying they've been poor by any stretch of the imagination, but I did feel like the January transfer window would play a huge part on whether I made Celtic more favourites or Rangers more favourites. And I feel as if Rangers have strengthened their starting 11 with four players. I think Celtic have strengthened their department at right back with the introduction of Julian Araujo. I think he's been excellent, and I think Chivanchera, I think, is a better option than at that point in time was Johnny Kenny up front.
He does really well for the winning goal.
He does excellent. Yeah, I think you can analyse it both ways. I think from a Kilmarnock point of view, it's terrible for the last minute of a game, but take nothing away from Chivanchera and obviously Araujo for the finish. But for me, I think that at this moment in time, and it's still extremely early, I think Rangers have done the better business in January over the two.
Adamu yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you, to be honest with you. It's not like I look at Rio Hatate, for example. I don't know if you know this, Gordon, but players have egos, and you know they can find themselves quite disappointed if they feel as if they're big players and they find their way out of the team. But you usually sulk when you're not playing. I think Rio Hatate's sulking while he's playing. Now, I'm using Rio Hatate as an example to Junior Adamu. I thought Junior Adamu tried ever so hard, but didn't really have the service to influence the game the way he would like to. So I didn't see it as a really poor performance. That being said, I thought it was a really brave triple substitution by Martin O'Neill. Yes, changes had to be made, but I didn't expect them to be three at half time. And then I thought it was another brave decision to take Dizemaid off after 60 minutes, because quite often Dizemaid has been the source of goals for Celtic for such a long period of time. And it was his removal at 60 minutes that really kicked Celtic into another gear. So as much as we talk about Rio Hatate, and quite rightly so, and it's for completely different reasons to Dizemaid for me, I think Dizemaid is another one that's not really hit the form he certainly was in last season or the start of this year either.
Edward, what is it about Austin Trusty then? Because there's been a few European games where he gets rave reviews for his performances and not so much domestically. Why is that?
Is that me?
Yes, Edward, sorry.
Sorry, I didn't catch that. What was
just
that?
Just Austin Trusty, you had your concerns about him. I was just wondering.
I do. I think he just, when you see him like yesterday, he just seems to, when a player's going in the box or whatever, he just seems to run alongside him, waiting for him to do something, and maybe 2 yards from him. And I just think, are you going to make a tackle, or are you just going to run him into the box and let him shoot? And that's what he does every time. It's amazing to watch.
I think, listen, Edward, he's got an axe to grind about Austin Trusty.
Stop it.
I think Trusty is one of these defenders who is at his best when he's asked to defend. I don't think it's a coincidence. A couple of his better performances were away at Atalanta last season and away at Bologna this season, when Celtic are under the cosh a bit and there's a bit of last-ditch defending to be done. I think he's good at that. I think he's not quite so good in games like yesterday, when Komarnik are breaking in Celtic. The game stretched a wee bit. Didn't think he looked clever at the Tyrese Jones goal for 1-0. I thought he gave him too much space, as Edward says. The thing about Celtic, though, Edward, is if it's not Trusty and Scales, who is it? Because with Stephen Welsh going back to Motherwell, there only is Dane Murray and young Benjamin Arthur, who we haven't seen at all as any kind of central defensive cover.
Benjamin Arthur in January, with, presumably signed him because they thought he could contribute, no? If not, then why not?
I think it would be a very un-O'Neill-like change. Yeah. To put an untried centre half like Benjamin Arthur into a title fight.
Andy, is it the stylistic difference? Is that what it is? If it's Atalanta away, or it is, remind me of the one this season,
Bologna
away, Austin Trusty's got his back to the wall and he is good at it. Is it as simple as that when teams are breaking on Celtic, when he's running into his own box, when it's Chirmiti that's running in, or when it's Tyrese Jones that's running in, are those the moments he struggles with?
I think, for me personally, I think it's more physicality. So I actually think it's the physical Jones that he seems to struggle with more. And he's a big boy, he's an imposing centre half, but he doesn't seem a centre half that loves contact. No, I actually think he's relatively okay at times defending space. I think he's got a turn of pace. And I think running back to his goal at certain points, he can defend well. I think he does so on a couple of really good occasions over in Bologna. But I actually think it's dealing with big, physical, powerful strikers where I think at times he struggles. That being said, I don't disagree with Roger at all that I felt as if he gave John Jules far too much room to cut inside that right foot. But yeah, I think it's more the physical side I think he struggles with at times.
What about the other side of this? Kelly fans, Hearts fans, we'd like to hear from you, please, if you can. Why not give us a call? We'll let Edward get back to his wood and we'll move on with the teaser. How are you faring with this? Before Yusuf Chirmiti, can you name the last 8 non-British Rangers players to score an Ibrox hat-trick? Morelos and Averladze, which is your answer so far?
Tori Andrew Flo.
Nope.
Oh,
Nacho Novo.
Nope.
Ronald de Boer.
Nope. Oh, this is not like you two. This is not like you two, and I'm enjoying it.
Nikita Jelinek.
No, yes, sorry.
No, yes.
I get excited. A 6 and he's 6-0 against Motherwell.
Countryman Darryl Pershaw.
Nope.
I'm trying to remember.
I'll give you a little
actual games.
Give you a clue then. The Jelinek one was actually the last in the league by a non-British player for Rangers before Chirmiti.
So they're going to be a wee bit.
So right. The remaining 4 in between. time wise, are all in the cup. I'll give you thinking time.
They're all in the cup.
We'll get, well, yeah, they're not in the league. We'll get the answer when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Plenty more times for your calls to look back on the weekend. Motherwell fans, like to hear from you perhaps. And we did mention Killian Hearts, because so much has been said tonight about victories for Rangers and Celtic, but what about you being on the other side? Let's hear from you if we can, please. Good teaser for you tonight. I sold you a slight dummy with one of the clues, but I'll explain. Before Yusuf Chirmiti, can you name the last 8 non-British Rangers players to score an Ibrox hat-trick? You've given me Alfredo Morelos, Nikita Jelovic and Shota Avarladze. I said the remaining 5 were not in the league. One of them was, but not the top flight.
All right.
Okay. And the rest are in the cup.
Cyril Dessers.
Yes. Do you remember the opponent? It doesn't really matter, but just out of curiosity.
No, I don't.
Fraser Brah.
Oh yeah, I do remember it now.
Okay.
We're talking league below. Franz Andaza.
Nope.
Who's that team?
Joe Aribo.
No. League below.
I'm assuming I was there, surely.
Come on, you should get this.
When did you leave?
When did I leave? 2020, but when the 2015.
Yeah, there's one in your time.
I know.
You might have been in Azerbaijan, who knows. Anyway, you can get back to it. Let's hear a bit from Neil McCann. This was his assessment after that defeat against Celtic yesterday.
I'm angry, aye, of course I am. So disappointed, because I truly believe it, we deserve something from the game. Clearly Celtic are going to come at us in the second half. Made lots of substitutions, put under a bit of pressure, but I still felt that we were right in the game. It's taken a bit of brilliance from Tenecchi to get them back into the game. The second goal, I mean, it's so disappointing. We lost 3 goals against St Mirren where it was just second balls bouncing in the box and we didn't deal with it. But the last one's the sorest, clearly, because it's right at the end of the game and there's a minute left. I'm not quite sure where they get 7 minutes from. I think you just make it up these days. But nonetheless, we still have to manage that. And that's what I'm most angry about. I'd have been disappointed coming off that point, to be honest. I have to be completely honest there. But the anger comes from not seeing that out and then getting at least a point. It's a waste of time talking to them and asking them where it comes from. So I said, I don't know how they get to that. I'd love to know how they got to it. I can't work out, can you? I think JJ was maybe a couple of minutes he came off. Dom Thomas down his head, maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes. I don't know where he gets 7 from. I don't know.
Angry, he says.
Yeah, he was angry. Listen, he'll be hugely disappointed because, you know, they were 2-0 up. Hugh Keevans had them down for the victory at half time. And you looked as if they were well set to get the victory. That free kick from Tyrese John-Jones that came back off the bar at 2-2 could have been a turning point back in Kilmarnock's favour. Listen, it's been a better spell for Kilmarnock under Neil McCann. They've put 4 past St Mirren, they've put 3 past Aberdeen, they put 2 past Celtic in the first half yesterday, even with 10 men for spells that were good against Rangers at Ibrox. I think when the anger subsides, I think he'll realise they are in a better place than they were when he walked in the door. And it's now just a case of keeping up that performance level. Andy said he would always take performance levels. If Kilmarnock maintain that performance level of the last month, they will be safe. But the injury to John Jules is bound to cause them issues.
I mean, on the subject of where does the time come from, Neil McCann started to provide some of the suggestions. He said that Dom Thompson was down. He said that John Jules come off, and he's right about both of them. He did mention Brad Lyons was down. Kelly made a triple change on the 79th minute, and they then made another change. Finlay Curtis came off before that, didn't he?
Yeah, and two goals.
And Celtic scored twice, so I don't know. I don't think that adds up to a time which would have been far off the 7, but it's just one man's opinion. You can tell though, Andy, and having been there and spoken to him and heard him yesterday, clearly very angry at the game management element of it and not seeing it out.
Yeah, I think it'll be a huge element of frustration. Sometimes you can say that was just too good. So you take Tenecchi's goal, that I've gave goal on the weekend, there's not much you can do. He gets in his right foot, whips in the top corner. But I think the second goal and the third goal are so poor from a Kilmarnock perspective. The second one's obviously a throw, the ball comes into the box. They have 2 separate occasions to clear the ball. don't manage to get any heightened distance on it, obviously, and it falls to Negan and he puts it in the back of net. And I think the third one, I don't know where it's at the stage of the game, there's a bit of panic, there's a lack of organisation, they allow an easy throw into Chivancha's feet. Take nothing away from Chivancha because he's still got so much to do. But then it's one touch to turn, second touch to play across the 6 yard box, and then Araujo's free and inside the 18 yard box to score a goal. And now we speak about this so often, Gordon. I've been as a player where you're the underdog in a game and you're 1-0, you're 2-0 up, and I think all of Kilmarnock's success came from pressing Celtic high up the pitch, forced them into errors, and then just naturally, whether it's an instruction for the manager or it's players, they just sink that 5-10 yards deeper, defensive lines deeper, and then when it gets to injury time, as Roger says, it gets 10 yards deeper even still. And I think from then on in with Celtic's quality, you allow them to control games, put you under enormous amounts of pressure, and eventually the pressure told.
Where does that leave the relegation picture then, Roger? Everybody, Big Marv is some fighting talk, he thinks they can do it. On the outside, lots of people are writing them off. Above that, you've got Killier on 20 points, St Mirren above them on 23, but St Mirren have a game in hand, Dundee on 24, they too have a game in hand. You, quite foolishly, on reflection, tipped Dundee United to be the team that get dragged in. They're now 8 points above Killie, with two games in hand. Would you like to take that back?
Well, I think they'll take inspiration from the words I offered them on Saturday. Clearly they were fired up for the win at Falkirk at the weekend. It will come down to the post split, as the title will at the top. I think the 11th place will come down to the split as well. You know, Livingston are 8 points from safety. They're 11 points from the safety of 10th place. They've only gathered 12 points from 27 games. You understand Marv has to stay positive. I think it's an enormous ask for Livingston. After that, you could perm anyone from five. You know, we mentioned Dundee United at the weekend. I still think that's a possibility. I remember a Hibs team missing out in the top six on the last day before the split and being relegated. So when you go, you can go. Did you see enough in Aberdeen yesterday, Andy, to suggest that they're safe?
Like I said, I've seen an enormous amount of improvement to the three previous fixtures. For me, I don't think there's any way that Aberdeen are going to get dragged into it. You know, I hate commenting on teams going down, especially, you know, I've got a lot of respect and time for Marv, but I feel as if Livingston's must-win game for me was a few weeks ago. And, you know, then going into the game at Dens Park as well, I felt as if it was one they had to win. I think there's been certainly an improvement in performance levels over the couple of games. He's took charge of certainly two of the three games. But you know, I think at this period in time, I think it's a lot of points to catch.
Okay, let's leave that there for now, because these two have work to do on the teaser, looking for the last eight non-British Rangers players to score an Ibrox hat-trick before Tremiti yesterday. Dessers, Morelos, Jelovic, Avaladze,
Antonio Colak.
Nope.
He's a sneaky man, Roger. He's a sneaky man.
Who, Mark and Paisley?
Mark and Paisley's a sneaky man. Now that wee guy from Edinburgh that's apparently non-British. Jason Cummins, it was at Falkirk.
Plays for Australia, come on, well done.
What about Mark Wilson's favourite, Daniel Kusa?
No.
So I can remember Christian Nerlinger getting a hat-trick.
Yes.
I thought it was Fofa away. Is it Fofa?
Yeah, League Cup.
I thought it was Fofa away. Oh well, there you go.
You're probably right, but anyway.
Darsfield?
No. One is against Stenhouse Muir.
Stenhouse Muir.
And that's the one in League One.
That was...
Who would that? Bellingham, wasn't it?
No, it is. What's his name?
It was there, actually. It was an 8.
Sonia Luko.
No. It was an 8-0. It was League One. I remember working that day. Probably the highest scoring game I had seen
Andy
at
Little?
That point. Nope.
Oh, no, he's British.
League One.
So think Irish.
John Daly.
John Daly.
I'm British.
And the last one, you two will absolutely kick yourselves. I might kick you.
Oh, no.
It's the most recent one.
This season?
Just like 2 weeks ago.
Why is it recency bias?
A couple of weeks ago.
About a month ago. Quick. Annan at home, Cup. Bojan Miowski.
Oh,
goodbye.
Goodness.
We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow.